Are we on? We're on. All right, it's time to start. The mic's on, so. Hope everybody's doing okay. Didn't get too cold. It got cold last night, didn't it? Man. It was nice. Well, for this time of year, it's kind of cold. Hey, glad everybody's here. I can see everybody, and now I can't. But I can see the lesson now, so. So, we're in chapter 20 today, and we're going to talk about something very important. And before we start, we need to ask God for help, and we're going to talk about that some today. But we need to reach out to God anytime we're studying the Bible or before we get into the Word. We need to ask the author to be there with us to help us out, to help with our understanding. Mr. Robbie, you want to open us up?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here in your house again this morning, Father. Thank you for the gift that you've given us, Father. Just ask you to be with Brother Richard as he teaches our lesson this morning, Father. Just give him your words. Just lift him up, Father, as he teaches us this morning.
Amen. Well, I got a cold. I don't have COVID. I've got a cold. And if I had COVID already, I'd rather have COVID than had this cold, or at least the COVID I had. I know some people have had it bad, but it's only antihistamines and talking for 45 minutes don't mix. You're dry. So I already got a dry mouth and I hadn't even started talking yet. So we're going to be in talk about prayer and the scriptures. So we learned in the previous chapter that without God's help, we cannot understand or correctly apply the scriptures to our lives. We also learned last week that interpretation of the Bible is impossible without illumination from the Holy Spirit. One of our verses last week, 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." If you've ever taken an online college class, it pretty much feels like you're on your own. You get a syllabus, and you get a test ever so often, and that's about all the help you get from your teacher. Because they don't help at all. And but other than the convenience of being online, I think most people you talk to would rather take a class in person with an instructor in front of you. I like the lectures. You got the book and the lecturer or the teacher to help you, to guide you. And I think that's very important. And kind of studying the Bible can seem like an online class at times. You just got your book, and you're trying to get something out of it. But it doesn't have to be like that. We have the teacher available to us 24/7. If we're the students, and the Bible is our text, and the Spirit of God is our teacher, and we can have full confidence, and we can depend on Him to help us and to illuminate what we're trying to study every time. I think a lot of times people don't read the Bible because it does require the teacher to be there with you, to help you. And we're busy people. We're busy with everything. And we don't want to take the time to pray and to separate from the busyness of this world, and to let God talk to us. And the great thing about Bible study is it works. And here's what's different from taking a class and reading your Bible, or studying the Bible, or studying for your history exam and studying the Bible. Even if you took a test after you read a chapter, and you failed, it does not mean the Word of God returned void. It doesn't mean it didn't have an impact on you. Just because you didn't learn some facts and some figures from that chapter doesn't mean it wasn't doing its work in your life. Bible study may not show up on a test every time, but it will show up in your life if you'll spend time in it. Remember, we're being transformed as we read the Word of God. We're not studying to be historians or biblical historians. We're spending time with the Bible so we can spend time with God so He can sanctify us. That's why we spend time in the Word of God. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the only way to renew your mind is with the Word of God. That's the only book that'll do it. If we were to ask, what are the goals of Bible study, what would you say? I'd say to be transformed, or to be more sanctified, and as the text says, to be holy, acceptable to God. And then you could also say to get to know God better. If you spend time with someone, you get to know them. The more time you spend with them, the better you know them. And the more time we spend in the Word, the better we will know the Lord. We'll know His likes, we'll know His loves, His dislikes, and what He hates. And Jesus is the Word, right? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as we get to know the Word more, we get to know Jesus more. And then we become more like Him because we're spending time with Him. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer to that is no, they cannot. They have to be agreed on where they're going to walk together. And people usually become friends with people they have a commonality with, that they're in agreement with. And I'm afraid, and I thought about this as I was studying, I'm afraid that maybe the reason so many people don't spend time in the Word is simply because they don't like it. They do not delight in it. They are not in agreement with it. They're walking a different direction. So we watch closely who our children make friends with, don't we? Or we used to. We try to guide their choices. We may steer them away from some of those friendships. Because we know that you take on the attributes of those you spend time with. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. I thought Ben Franklin came up with that, but no, it's in the Bible. But on the other hand, Proverbs 27:17 states, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. So without a doubt, we should make friends with those that sharpen us, with those that make us better. And when you spend, or when you become a student of the Word, and you're spending time with that which is your, or you're spending time with that which is the best company, you're spending time with the best friend that you can have. You're spending the time with a friend that can sharpen you. And as you start walking His way, because you're in agreement with Him, your mind is transformed. So for us to ask God, to pray to God, and ask Him to meet us and to guide us before we start reading the Bible, that should be self-evident. Without a doubt, that's something we should do. And we get to our first scripture verse. In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So James 1:5 promises to all Christians who need God's help to understand his will that he will give you wisdom. And because of this truth, what should we do? We should ask for it, right? He says that we should ask for it. He says what he'll give us. Then we should ask for it. If we go to God and ask him for wisdom, what do you think he'll say? I think he'll say, okay, you can have it. But I want you to read my Bible. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to spend time with wise people. And I'll tell you, the wisest people you can spend time with is at church. And the best thing, some of the best people you can listen to is the Word of God being preached behind the pulpit. That's wise. But James gives a little bit more insight than I gave you right there. He says, ask, but ask in faith. So, if we summarize the main truths we found in the text, we're going to look at verse 6 and 6 through 8 here. It says, but he must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, if you walk up to a complete stranger, you're at Walmart or wherever, in the parking lot, and you walk to a stranger and ask him for $100, he's likely to turn you down. And I would turn down just about anybody walking up to me asking for $100. But if you did that, most likely you're going to get turned down. And you know that going into it, so you're probably not going to have a lot of faith walking up to someone and asking for $100. But if you walk up to someone that's a good friend and you ask them, your good friend, they'll probably give it to you. And if that same friend has already told you in advance that they would give you $100 if you asked for it, then you really wouldn't have any doubts when you went up to ask for $100. So what's the difference between the two? Was the relationship. And we should know that. If we ask a stranger, we're probably going to have doubts that they'll give anything. But when you ask a good friend, you can be confident that they will give, that they will lend. We have faith that God will deliver because we know him, we trust him, and on top of that, he's promised that he would. Now, suppose that instead of you asking a friend for the $100, you ask your father. And your father had already promised ahead of time that he'd give you whatever you needed. So then he would most certainly give, wouldn't he? See, my dad, he was broke ever since I known him. He worked construction sometime. But if I ever needed something that he had, he'd give it to me without even question. Something I needed, he would. And that's how he was. So I know for certain my Heavenly Father would give me what I needed if I asked him. The Scriptures abound with promises for those who seek God in prayer, to understand his word and to apply it to their lives. Let's look at Jeremiah 33, verse 2. To say, thus saith the Lord, who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. So if he's going to summarize the text, I mean, it's pretty summed up already. He says, call me, or call to me, and I'll answer. I will tell you great and mighty things. And he won't tell you what you already know. He's going to tell you what you do not know. I tell you, there's nothing greater or mightier than the Word of God. And he'll tell us what it means if we'll ask him. So in light of the text, obviously we should call out to God for enlightenment as we read, because he's promised. If someone has promised to give you something that would make you wiser or a better person, you'd probably take them up on it. Well, God has promised, and the only thing left for us to do is to read it and receive it. Proverbs 2, verse 2 through 7 says, "Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. If you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity." When I read this verse, I do not get the idea that we ask for it and then God puts a funnel in our ear and just pours it in. I wish it was like that. It would be so much easier, right? But there's some work to do on our part. Someone might say, "Well, don't you believe God is all-powerful and then he could do anything?" And I'd say, "Well, yeah, I believe that. But he's also sovereign, right? And he has decreed it to work a certain way. He's made a process of how sanctification works. And it requires effort on our part. It requires a little work on our part. At least the practical sanctification does. Or the practicing sanctification. He gave it to us through his word. We read it. We make our ear attentive for it. We incline our heart for it. We cry for it. We ask the Holy Spirit for illumination, for understanding. We seek for her as silver because it is treasure. And then we will obtain the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Because what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as we read earlier in Proverbs. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And we look at verse 7. And it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he?" Hypothetical. "Will he? If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give us what is good to those who ask him?" So if we walk back through that, he tells us to ask before it was given. He didn't say give or I'll give. He said ask and then it will be given. He said seek and then you'll find it. He said knock before it's open. There were things my dad would not give to me. But if I needed it, he would. He had a 76 Trans Am that I really wanted. but I never got it. And he was probably right. I would have killed myself at 17 years old. So there's certain things God's not going to give us because we don't need it. But we do need illumination from the Bible while we're reading it, don't we? We need God's help to understand it. And I'm pretty sure he wants us to have that. And if we ask, it'll be given to us. If we seek it, we'll find it. And if we knock, it's going to be opened for us. Are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you knocking? So we've established that prayer is an indispensable element in our interpretation of the scriptures. But how should we pray? And thankfully, we're given the answer. The same scripture that admonishes us to pray also teaches us how to pray. And we're going to look at a few verses that God inspired King David and the Apostle Paul to write down. And by studying their inspired prayers, we can learn how to ask God, or ask God aid when we're studying His Word. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open the eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." So open my eyes is kind of a poetic way or a metaphorically way to say, allow me to see the great things from your law. He says, pinpoint them, open them up, highlight them, so I can see great things from your law. Notice that David wants to see things from God's law, the Holy Word. That kind of shows us, above all else, David may would have liked, or let me start over there. You kind of think that there's a lot of things David would like to have seen, right? And above all else, he wanted to see the Word of God. He wanted to understand the Word of God so he could behold it, so he could know it, and so he could live it. Psalm 119, we'll move down to verse 26. So first, I want to go through these and point out the petitions, and then we're going to walk back through and point out some other things. If you got your Bible handy, you might want to get your Bible out. I was going to bounce around a little bit between these two sections. But he says, verse 26, "I have told of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false ways from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart." We walk back through those verses. See, the first thing he asks is, he says, teach me your statutes. He wants to be taught the word. And then he says something. He says, make me understand. That's a little different from teach me. He's just saying, I surrender to you. Make me do it. And I've thought of that quite a bit before. And when we repent and when we turn away from sin, we wish there was a light switch there that we could just flip that switch and we wouldn't have to worry about that sin anymore. Or we could flip a switch and it would just make us great Bible students. And we can cry out to God and ask Him for that to happen, just to make us understand the way. And He will. But we're going to have to put some work into it too. He said, make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to what? Your word. So far he said, teach me your statutes, make me understand your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. And then he says, strengthen me according to your word. Then he says, remove the false ways from me, and graciously grant me your law. I've chosen the faithful way, I've placed your ordinances before me. So he's done his part, and he's put them before him. And he clings to them. And that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to put the Word of God before us, and we're going to have to cling to it, cry out to God, and then we'll understand it. As we go on down, Psalm 119:33 says, teach me, O Lord, the ways of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law, and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. So if you had a pick, well, let me walk through these real quick. He said, teach me again your statutes. Give me understanding of what? Of your law. Make me walk your paths of your commandments. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Then he says in 38, he says, establish your word to your servant. So if you had to pick one of these verses to pray, or if you had one of these verses as a petition, what would that be for you? And I was thinking what that would be, but I couldn't get away from verse 35 where he says, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I'm thinking there's a key there. For I think what I think would be best for most Christians today, I think more than anything else that we could pray, we should ask to delight in his word. Now, he's not pointing that out. He said he already delights in it. That's why he's praying all this, because he delights in the word already. But I'm afraid today, a lot of us don't delight in it. We have it. We carry it around sometime with us. Got it on our phone. But we don't really delight in it. So at this point in the Psalms, David's already arrived at delighting in it. He's already delighted in it. And he was crying out for understanding. He wanted to be obedient to it. He wanted to take away false ways, lying ways, and vanity from him so he could not only understand it more, but be obedient to it. I mentioned earlier that one reason many people do not spend time in the scripture is that they don't like it. Remember I said that just a little bit ago? Or I guess another way to say it is they don't delight in it. And folks, here's the truth. We usually spend time with what we delight in. We usually find time to do what we delight in. So if we're not reading it, it's because we're delighting in something else more. Something else we're spending that time where we could be reading, and we're doing that instead. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So if you're going to spend day and night with something, you're going to have to delight in it, or you won't be doing it very long. There are some things you do because you have to do, and then there's things you do because you like it. You delight in it, right? The things you delight, you always come back to. So the biggest hindrance to people that keeps them from spending time in the Bible, I'd say they don't delight in it. And you have not because you ask not, right? We have need to pray that we would delight in the Word of God. But there's something we're going to have to, else we're going to have to do. We have to turn away from those things that hinder us. Those things that we may be more delightful to do or delight in more than spend time in the Word of God. And usually that's the world. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if we're in love with the world and the things of the world, that's what we're delighting in. We're not delighting in the Word of God. and the love of the Father is not in us. That's a sad thing, but, you know, in our world today, there's so many things to distract us that pulls us in different directions. But I promise you, you will do what you love, and you will do what you delight in. Ephesians 1:15 says, "For this reason, I too have heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." So we're switching from David to looking at Paul. And Paul's giving us some insight on his prayer life here. And he's telling the Ephesians that he prays for them. And then he's going to let them in on what he's been praying. He says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might." So, should we pray for the same for ourselves and others? We should, shouldn't we? We should pray this. Can most of this be accomplished by spending time in the Word of God? Let's go back and look. He says, "The Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom." We just read in Proverbs that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? We know that the Bible makes you wise. We know from the Bible we can receive, which it is the Bible, a revelation. The Bible is a revelation from God, and it's the knowledge of him. And we can know more about him from the Word of God. And we should pray that the Holy Spirit enlightens our understanding. Because why? So that we will know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory and his greatness and his power toward us who believe. Those are things we can get from the Bible if the Holy Spirit, the teacher, will guide us. And he will do that if we'll ask him. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Paul said the Holy Scriptures can make us wise through salvation. So we should pray these for ourselves. And most of this can be accomplished if we'll spend time in the Word of God. Over to Colossians, it's another epistle the Apostle Paul penned. In chapter 1, verse 9, we'll see what the apostle prayed for the Colossians. He said, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask," this is what he's asking, "that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." So, if only there was a book, maybe, or something that we could read that would give us knowledge of God's will and spiritual wisdom and understanding, then maybe we would know how to walk so we can please the Lord and we may bear fruit. And on top of that, we would increase in our knowledge of God. I think we do have a book like that, and it's called the Bible. And it's been helping people for several thousand years. But only to those who read it, and only to those that are guided by the Holy Spirit. So if you were to pen a prayer to God and ask Him, based on what we've studied, to help you, what are you thinking? What do you think you would ask from this prayer? Is there anything from this study that leaped out at you? And I had quite a list of things that I need to talk to God about. He said one thing, it was, remove from my eyes the things of vanity, pride, and the lust of this world. That'd be a good one. How about, make me delight even more in your word. Illuminate what you want me to know as I read. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Help me to walk in your will. And as I close the lesson, I can say to you, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The more we look at the Word of God, the more we focus on it, the more time we're spending with Jesus himself, because he is the Word. And then those things that have been a distraction, those other things that you were delighting in, will fade away. And you'll be able to spend time more and more in the Word of God. Amen? We got any prayer requests we need to make? Need to hold up? I ask you just keep praying for my mother. And pray for Claudia's mom as she's healing up. Pray for Claudia. Yes, sir.
His name's Kevin Kilgore. He's in really bad shape in the hospital. He's a fairly, fairly young fellow. And he's, they found out just recently that he had diabetes and his complications. He's now in the hospital with COVID on a vent and he's aspirated that bacteria up into his lungs.
Wow. How old is he?
52 years old.
He's my age.
He's got E. coli pneumonia.
Yeah, E. coli pneumonia along with it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we need to pray for him. You said that's your cousin?
Nephew.
Nephew. Yes, sir. Okay.
With Cindy O'Leary, she's a battling kidney stone.
You'll pray for Robbie. He's going in for surgery tomorrow for his wrist, and I know when they say minor surgery, but they got to put you to sleep. There's always a chance. No, I'm kidding. you got to trust those people, you know? So we're going to pray for that guy that puts you to sleep. I'll tell you a quick story. Last time I went into the hospital, I woke up as soon as they got done. The next time, I don't even know, I was out so long, they had to dress me. That's embarrassing. I mean, I said, these people had to come put clothes on me. I mean, I was out all the way to the car, and then I seen some church folks there, too, and I don't remember. And then I was just for a second on that elevator, and then I got in the car, and the next thing was a Chick-fil-A, and I was getting a milkshake. So, and then I went home and went to bed. It's just...
what you got to look forward to, Robbie?
Robbie, we're praying that don't happen to you. You'll be...
I had my hernia surgery. Apparently, I was fighting the nurses over my clothes.
Yeah. We got anything else? Yes, sir. We'll go ahead and reach out. Anybody got any unspoken? They just got in their heart. So let me pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that you give us. Lord, we do pray that you would help us as we study, and Lord, as we read, and we just pray that you would illuminate the Scriptures for us, teach us from your Word. Lord, we ask you to help us separate from those things of the world that distract us and take our time that are useless, just vain things that in the end is not going to matter at all. Help us to not be distracted by those things, Lord. Help us to concentrate on what's everlasting. And Lord, we do want to hold up our prayer requests, Lord, our petitions to you, Lord. We come to you with boldness, knowing that you are the great physician. You're the great Father of lights, Lord, the all-powerful and sovereign God. We ask you just to hear the petitions that were made. We do want to pray for Kevin Kilgore, Lord. Ask you to be with him and help the doctors that are treating him. We just pray for your healing. Lord, Bobby Matchett, we ask you just to be with him and help Barbara as, Lord, she's helping him. Or just be with them and, Lord, just... ask you to help him heal up and get better, Lord. Cindy, Lord, we pray for her and just ask for her comfort during this time. And, Lord, Robbie, as he goes in tomorrow, we just pray for the doctors and the anesthesiologists, Lord, and for Robbie and his family, that you just be with them. And, Lord, we just for guidance. And, Lord, we pray for those at our church that are not here, that are traveling, that are out and about, or it's a dangerous road out there. And we just pray for safety for those. Lord, as we go into our service, Lord, we do want to hold up our preacher to you, ask him to hide him behind the cross. Lord, just give him the words to say. And Lord, we pray that the teacher, the ones that illuminates the Scriptures for us, that teaches us all things, will be among us today. And Lord, working on our hearts, help us receive the word that's preached, Lord, so that we can be more pleasing and walk in your will.